Again, it's good seeing y'all tonight. It's my pleasure to be able to do something like this. Of all the Bible studies that we do and attending church all the time, it's a real pleasure to be able to come up here and give a portion of God's Word to y'all. I want to welcome any visitors that's here. We're proud to have you, and we ask you to keep coming. As a matter of fact, every now and then we have somebody that comes in and becomes part of our congregation. I just want to say one thing. When I look out through the audience here, I see mainly Christians. Most of us are Christians here. Somebody brought us to that level. If it was a mother or a father or a friend, somebody or a preacher that started a Bible study with you, you had to make a choice. That choice means a whole lot in your life. It means everything in your life. People, look at my notes here. They give us the word and we have to accept it. I just want to say that we could be somewhere else through some other congregation or some other denomination that draws you by having a guitar or drums to bring in the young people or give dinners to people to hold them in after church and have some preacher that comes up forward all wrapped in a fancy robe and everything to show His authority. But ours doesn't do that. We got a wonderful preacher from Plant City that wouldn't wear a robe like that. He probably doesn't own a bathrobe. Wow. But anyway, the title of my sermon tonight is the blueprint of God and creating an idol. We know what the blueprint is of God. It's the Bible. And that blueprint actually works like any other blueprint of a house, a building, whatever. You follow that blueprint. And if you come off of it, the house isn't going to be right, or if you want to change it, it's going to cost you. We had a friend that she built a big two-story house, and the contractor gave her a price on it, which she said, man, it was all really low. So she decided that she could add a few more things to that house. That's what she wanted. Contractor started on it. He says, yeah, I can do it. Well, when he finished, the house was almost three times as much as what she thought it was going to be. She says it went from a thrill to a burden. So we got to watch those sort of things. We all know that God's given us the Word. And we know Christ is our Savior. We have a country that's blessed. And we sometimes forget who blessed us. And we go astray. And what happens when we go astray from the Word? What do we start doing? We start creating our own idols. And this is something, what I'm saying here tonight is, I fought for many years the congregation of what I believed and what I didn't believe until one day I had to just come to the point of giving in and just giving everything to God. Anyway, the idols I'm talking about that you have to overthrow are the ones that involves family, involves friends. And when you look in, matter of fact, we'll look in Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 in the Pew Bibles. It's on page 209, and we'll look at five through nine. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house, on your gates. What you usually have problems doing is, we've had a lot of it, and gave in a lot of times on it when, on a Sunday, they have birthday parties, dinners of some kind, and they always seem to be at 5 o'clock. They don't go to church. And so you end up giving yourself in to them and not going to church because you're going to stay and celebrate everything with them. So what you've done, for that while, they became your idol. You have put them in front of our Lord and Savior. They don't go to church, but yet we'll follow them. So my wife is actually the strength of my life a lot. God's gone through her to help me. And now she always tells them, well, at 5 o'clock, if it's 5 o'clock, we'll be there, but it'll be about 30 minutes and we're going to church. And they finally give in to that. They finally realize when they give something like that, that's what they're going to do. They're going to tell you, well, you come at 4. You can eat or whatever. And also, Hebrews 10, 25 through 26. Psalm 1380. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. That's pretty strong words right there. So we got to think about these things. We always think, when we're getting to that, of the golden calf. That seems to be the most popular thing of an idol. But you create these idols. They're all over. Once you abandon God on a service or whatever, you have created an idol. They become, and that is not something you want to do. We go to, we'll go to Exodus 20, 1 through 6. You know, I've read all through here trying to find Charlton Heston, but he never appeared. I don't understand that. Let me get, or I can turn this thing. I have trouble with my hands anymore, my fingers. It's holding that rod and reel so much. Yeah. 21 through 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt,
out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Well, that's something, of course, that's Old Testament. We say, well, that's Old Testament. But no, that goes all the way through. It doesn't matter if it's New Testament or what. He does not like any kind of idols, and he doesn't like anything that comes before him first. And then we go, now we're going to get into the golden calf. Okay, the Exodus 32. That's on page 98. I can talk through this a lot, so reading everything, because, well, you know, when Moses came down from the mountain, they thought he stayed too long. They didn't know where he was. So all of a sudden, a golden calf popped up they wanted to build. And Aaron, his brother, well, God helped him do it. Well, Moses finally came down from the mountain, for God told him, says, hey, you better get down there. These people are not doing right. When he came down, he saw the calf and he threw it in the fire and crushed it and everything. Well, God was very angry. He wanted to get rid of. He says, they're stiff-necked people. I'll just get rid of them. We won't even fool with them. Well, Moses talked him out of it. But what Moses had to do was call the ones to come with God, to come on his side. And the ones that didn't, he had them to slay with swords. That was 3,000. And even God then, after that, said, well, some of those still that did worship the golden calf will still be punished. And I got me a golden calf that I drew up, that y'all might like. So that's what I imagine he probably looked like, because anybody figured to build a golden calf just all at once, head of the Lord, after he did everything he did for them and warned them, for all those years, preached to them, Moses did, and got them out of Egypt, and they still, I guess, that's the way it goes, though, because sometimes that's the way we are. So we're going to go to 1 John 5. First John 5:20-21, 1402 is the number. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Then we'll go to 1 Peter. First Peter 4, it's on page 1393, 1 through 5. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetimes in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries or whatever, drinking parties, and abominable adulteries, regard to these that they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of desperation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Well, I'll tell you what I did one time, in case you want to know. Well, you know, most everybody here knows I love to hunt and fish. Well, I came to church. I mean, I was baptized and everything, but apparently I just didn't get it. And it still haunts me that I did such a thing. I can't say I can't forgive myself, because that's left up to Jesus Christ, and we can't take that away from him on the cross. We regret what we do, but he forgives us. Well, I took hunting and fishing. I figured, you know, the old devil must have been, I mean, he knew how weak I was. He just sat there and thinking, you know, Tommy, you work the whole week. You hunt and fish on Saturday during hunting season. Just think what you could do on that Sunday. Well, I did it. I invented a big idol. I took what was fun and made it into my idol. I stopped coming to church. Didn't come for a long time. Some of y'all remember that. I know Jean and Sharon does, because part of her family was the reason I came back. But it was something that was very regrettable. My wife, unfortunately, she followed me. That part also became her idol. But she wasn't happy over it. And in time, I guess the prayers and the calls finally got to me, and I started coming around. And I came to her one day, and several times, and she realized that I was serious. She told me before that she would not go back to church under the circumstances what I was doing. Well, I stopped that. And as soon as we came back to church, but we realized the number one thing, as I read earlier about loving God, he is the number one. As soon as we realized that we loved him more than we did anything else, our lives started coming around. And it came around pretty fast. We started coming to church pretty regular. At times I had the pull. I mean, I would start pulling a little bit, but she didn't like it. So what she doesn't like, I don't like. And so I stayed here. I came around and started to getting my attitude different, and that worked. But I will say that the calls to something like this. Let's go to The parable of the sower, Matthew 13. That's on page 1126, and it's 3 through 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the multitude stood on the shore. When he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now let's go to 18 through 25. Same book. Now this was, he's going to explain the parable, what this means. And we pretty well have to, need to listen very good on this one, because this might put us in a category which we need to get out of. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked ones come and snatches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When tribulations or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns, he who hears the word and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So that's something that we need to think about. We need to find some good soil if we want to grow in the church. We need to really plant ourselves in the good dirt, and the way you do that is you study, you come to Bible studies, you come to church, you learn God, because that's why you have to do it. It doesn't come overnight. It's hard work, but when you do, it's incredible. I mean, the feeling that I used to have, and the feeling I have now. Matter of fact, even when you're first starting and everything, you may be even doubting. There's no doubt anymore. I mean, the preaching that we have here, compliment Ken. Very good. I mean, he brings out things that I never even thought of in lessons. And it has helped me so much. I want to read one other thing to you. I found this. This is actually the end of my lesson. But I just want to say that to make a review of it. Deuteronomy, love the Lord. I mean, study. really get something out of it. It means so much. If you're just going to be a shallow person and just not get anything out of it, you're just wasting your time, because he has so much to offer, God does, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that's pitiful if you're not a Christian and just won't come forward because you just don't want to do it. Maybe it interferes with your ball games, but I want to tell you, there's ball games anymore. Man, I just love the ball games. But anymore, when I got this, I'll watch it if I have time. You know, it's something good on the side. But no, I don't get into it that much anymore. I'm getting into this. There's a writing by John Piper, Living Supernaturally as the Church of Christ. Christian living is supernatural, or it is nothing. The church is made of living stones built into a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5. Spiritual is the opposite of merely natural. It means inhabited and guided, empowered by the supernatural spirit of Christ. Paul distinguished between a natural person and a spiritual person. That's on 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. And he described those who act like natural persons as mere humans. 1 Corinthians 3:4. Christians are not mere humans. They are spiritual humans. God resides in them. 1 Corinthians 6:19. They have new supernatural life flowing through them. They live with power that is not merely their own. There is no way we can be the church without this experience. The call to deny ourselves for the sake of love, to return good for evil, to forgive 70 times 7, to endure one another, and to keep on doing this with joy for 50 or 60 or 80 years is not possible to the natural person, human. It is only possible supernaturally. To be the church, we must live on God. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and in him, he is that bear much fruit. That bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. It takes supernatural power to endure patiently with the kind of love that defines us as the church of Christ. So Paul prays that we might be strengthened with all powers according to the might of God's glory, for all endurance and patience with joy. Colossians 1:15. I'm going to offer the invitation now. And if there's anybody here that needs to find some of that little bit deeper soil, to plant a little deeper, that needs to come up and join us in God's world, in Christ, we sure invite you now. If anybody that needs a prayer or two that's down somewhat, we'd be glad to pray for you or help you any way we can.